All righty. Good evening, everybody. Ron LeGrand here, and thanks for tuning in tonight. First of all, let me hear somebody speak so I'll know that you're hearing me.
Kathy.
Okay. Hello. Oh, great. Thanks. Fortunately, I'm going to mute it out here in a minute. I'm going to go through my checklist, and then I'm going to open it back up when I'm through so you guys can ask questions when I'm done. If you're on this call tonight, it's because you are registered for the event on Saturday. I'm going to be in Springfield on Saturday, and or you are on here to find out if you need to register. I think both parties were invited. So let me mute everybody out right now and get rid of this background noise.
The conference is in lecture mode.
All right. The purpose of the call tonight is actually to prepare you for Saturday, because I'm going to come out there and spend all day with you, and I'd like to actually help you make some money while I'm there. I don't think anybody's got any objection to that. And in order for me to do that, I'll need you to bring me some property information sheets. So I'm going to go over how to get those things filled out and bring a few of them with you so I can screen them for you. And let's see if we can't help you turn them into deals. First, before I get started, a couple of things. One, in case you haven't been told, I will be starting at 8 a.m. sharp. 8 a.m. Sorry to have to get you out of bed a little early, but I've got to. We got to end that afternoon at 2:45 so we can get back home that night. So 8 o'clock is when we'll start, and that just means you have the afternoon off. We're going to be at the University Plaza Hotel, in case you haven't been told that yet, and you should be there about 15 minutes or so early to get registered. Let's get up early and let's get her done, and you can get something accomplished that afternoon. In fact, I'm going to give you the information throughout the day to actually give you plenty to do when you get home that afternoon, and might be a very, very productive Saturday for you. Some of you are going to be joining me for dinner on Friday night, and I know you know who you are, so I'm looking forward to that as well. And I'm also going to be giving away at least $5,000 worth of cash and prizes on Saturday by drawing. So let me give you the agenda a little bit so you'll know what you're in for. All morning is going to be on how we're making the most money in real estate today with single-family houses all around the country, how I run my business here in Jacksonville, Florida, where I live, and do 4 to 6 deals a month with one part-time assistant. I have a full-time assistant, but she only spends part of her time in the real estate business. The other part of her time is all the other crap that I got going on. So she's pretty busy. Her name is Tish. Some of you may have already talked to her on the telephone. And it's all about getting getting more done with less time, and you're going to see how systemized this business is for you today. So regardless of how busy you are, I know you don't need anything more to do, but my goal is to come out and show you how to pull money out of these single-family houses and do it very quickly, in fact, without risk and without using your money or credit. And so that's what I'm going to spend the morning doing. I literally will bring you some examples that I have done, and show you what's going on in the real world, including where you live in Missouri. Yes, it even works in Missouri, so I'm coming out there to show you. By the time you leave, you're going to think of real estate considerably different than you probably do now. The room will have experienced investors in it, and it will have beginners in it. They always do. And what I'll be discussing applies to every single person in the room, because regardless of how experienced you are, how many deals you've done, there's always a better way to get more money with the least amount of work. And if you don't know, I've been at this now for 33 years and done well over 3,000 houses, and always staying on the cutting edge. And times change, and the laws change, and the techniques change. So I'm going to bring you right up to date. I'm even going to bring you my book as well, so I'll be autographing that for you while you're there. So let's get to work on how I'd like for you to prepare. And again, I'm going to take questions at the end, but first let me open it up and ask you a question.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Did you guys receive my property information sheet by email prior to this call?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is anybody got a no? All right. Well, I'm going to assume it's all a yes. Let me mute it back out again. All right.
The conference is in lecture mode.
In case there are no's that you haven't received it yet, you can go to ronlegrand.com/FISBO, F-S-B-O, and you can get it there, because that is the tool that you're going to use to prepare yourself, and that's also a very important piece of paper for you to use after the event, because hopefully that's what your virtual assistants are going to be filling out for you in the future, so that really you just have to take the people that come in that indicate that they will accept terms on that sheet and follow up them with a call. I'm going to bring you the scripts if you haven't already received them. You may have already got them. The scripts to use to call these sheets with. So let me ask you that. Did you get those or not?
All right. The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
The operator keeps butting in. Did you get scripts along with the property information sheet, folks?
No, I did not.
If it's a yes, press any button. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my staff email everybody that's registered tomorrow the actual scripts that it would for you to use when you call these property information sheets.
The conference is in lecture mode.
And I'm going to bring them again on Saturday as well to make sure everybody has them, because they're kind of important. As we go down this property information sheet, you'll see when to use them and what script. They're clearly marked when you get them. Right at the top of the scripts, it'll tell you, use this script if the seller said yes to a lease option or yes to owner financing or yes, I'll sell for what I owe. And it's there's also going to be a script in there if the seller gives you a hard time about when you ask them what they owe, they say, well, I don't want to tell you that. There's a script in there to overcome that objection as well. And there's also a script in there to actually set the appointment, which you may want to do if you get some yes answers and you follow my scripts and you like what you hear. You might as well go ahead and set an appointment for Monday or even Sunday or Monday or Tuesday to go to the house and make sure that I'm aware of that when I see you, and I'll tell you exactly how to handle that appointment based on the information you're going to bring me on this sheet. So let's talk about how to get these sheets prepared and come with some good leads so I can help you get some good money. At the top of the sheet, if you have it in front of you, and if you don't, incidentally, I'm recording this call right now, and I'm going to ask the guys to send that out to you tomorrow so you can re-listen, and everybody that did not make it on here tonight can listen to it so that they can get prepared as well. You guys cannot bring too many of these sheets for me to screen. I can do them in a hurry. And we will have a discussion on these things in class after lunch, and that's where I'm going to go through them and pick out the pearls for you and pull money out of thin air for you. So let's start at the top of the sheet. The upper right-hand corner, you'll see a couple of stars. One of the stars is beside, you know, what the seller is asking for the property. That's an extremely important script, because if you don't ask the seller, we'll not know what they're asking for the property. You won't have any problem with that one. And right below that, it says it asks what the seller thinks the property is worth. I always just point blank ask them, if I had it appraised right now, what do you think it appraised for? And you'll get an answer. And that's a pretty important answer for me, because that tells me whether the seller thinks it's worth more than it is or less than it is, or they're about right. After you go down to the next blank, you'll see is where it says your comps. If you read this property information sheet to a FISBO and you get a yes to one of the terms questions that I'm about to get to, then you're going to want to actually go on Zillow or Trulia or ePraisal, or any other of the 100 sites that you can go on to see what you think the property's worth based on the comps in the neighborhood, the sales in the neighborhood. And, in fact, write that down now if you have not done this before. Probably the easiest one is just Zillow, Zillow.com. Punch in the address. Make sure you're looking at solds only. It'll give you a selection process to pick only the sold properties, and it'll put up a map with all the sold properties right around your subject and make it very easy for you to see that your sold properties are right there, usually right in the same neighborhood. Make sure that they are similar in square footage, and that they were sold 6 months or less ago, and that they're as close as you can get them to the subject property. If you will follow those instructions, your comps won't be hard for you to look on there and see. And while we're having that discussion, bring me only the two top comps that you see. I don't care about any of the bank-owned sales. I don't care about all of the distressed sales. Look for the very two top sales that are in that area that are close in square footage. And just make a note of those. I don't need you to print out anything. Just put those two numbers right there in that blank where it says your comps. And just give me something to work with. And if you don't understand what I just said or you don't feel like you can do what I just said, don't worry about it. I'll still review your sheet, but it would be nice if I actually had a clue what the property was worth. All right, if we move on down, and don't forget now, you can ask questions when I'm through. If we move on down into the rectangular block, you'll see where the mortgage information is, and this one is critical. You must ask the seller, well, what do you owe, and get me an answer right there with the loan amount. Guys, if we don't get the loan amount, we've got nothing to work with. If you don't ask the seller what they owe and get that answer, there's nowhere we can take this property. We will have no idea how to create terms on it. We will have no idea how much equity is in it, and frankly, it is pretty much worthless until somebody calls them and gets that answer. What do you owe? Fill in the blank. If they give you any problem, and only about 10% of them will, then go to my default script that you're going to get tomorrow and just read it and then ask them the same question again. And by the way, if you read my default script and you still can't find out what they owe, you've actually found out what we need to know, and that is that we won't be doing business with this seller. We're not going to do business with people who can't answer simple questions so that we can collect the information to determine whether we can help them or not and buy their house. And we will cover that on Saturday. We're going to work with the people who will work with us and get rid of the rest at lightning speed. Now, fortunately, your virtual assistant is going to be doing all this stuff that I'm describing tonight, hopefully for you in the near future. We have the virtual assistants. We provide them for you, and I'll even bring you the information on those on Saturday as well if you're ready to get one working for you. And good thing about virtual assistants is you pay them as you use them. You don't pay them by the hour. You pay them as you use them, and that's by the minute, not by the hour. So you only pay for the actual time they're using. And we have very well-trained and qualified people calling these FSBOs for you and filling out these sheets so that you don't have to do it in the future, and then sending them to you so that all you have to do is read them and make the decision as to whether you want to call that seller or not. Go back to the block. You'll also see on the right it asks for the payment. That's pretty critical. I need to know the payment, and I need to know the loan amount. I could care less who the lender is, and I really don't care what the interest rate is, but get me the payment and get me the loan amount. And then right below that in the square, you'll see it include PITI, which is principal interest, taxes, and insurance. I need a yes or a no there. Most of the payments will include a taxes and insurance, but not all of them. So if you don't ask that question, does it include taxes and insurance, then we're just going to have to guess, and I really don't like too much guessing. Most of them you'll find that the payments are current on them, but please check, yes, that they are current, and ask that question. You don't ask, are your payments current? I like to say, well, I assume your payments are current, and just check it, yes. And that square must be filled out, or honestly, there's not much I can do to help you determine what to do next. Now, if you look down below the square there, or the rectangle, like I keep calling it a square, but it's really a rectangle, you'll see three blocks of script. And these three blocks of script are probably the most important thing on that sheet as to whether it's a suspect or a prospect. Now, if you look over on the left side of that sheet, you'll see a block that says, ask this question, if there's less than $35,000 difference between the loan balance and the asking price. And the question is, will you sell for what you owe? Now, this may sound stupid, but I went 15 years not knowing how to ask that question, and I can't tell you how many deals it cost me because I didn't ask that simple question. When you guys bring in property information sheets on Saturday, you're going to see that several of them will have a yes, where it says, will you sell for what you owe? Now, let me caution you. Read the line above that and only ask that question where it is applicable. For example, if a seller's asking $200,000 for their house and they owe $100,000 and you're asking them, will you sell for what you owe, it's not going to make you look too cool, is it? In fact, you look like you just got out of a seminar somewhere. When a man is asking $200,000 and he owes $100,000 and you're asking, will you sell for what you owe, you are insulting him, and that'll probably be the end of that relationship just like that because you asked that question at the wrong time. So again, if there's a small gap between the loan amount and the asking price, $35,000 or less, in fact, do ask that question because it'll be a very important question. You're going to get quite a few of them that say yes when you ask that question when there's a small gap. For example, if we got the $200,000 asking price, but now the seller owes $180,000, now, most certainly, we want to ask that question because they very well might want to take what they owe. And if you get a yes to that answer, you just got the house for free by taking over the debt on it. And I'll discuss that in class for you on Saturday, but frankly, I just did one like that last week. In fact, the house that I just described to you, my friends, is my favorite type of deal, and that's beautiful homes in beautiful neighborhoods with a small equity in them. And where the seller will just gladly walk away. In fact, I'll show you one on Saturday that I did and made $50,000 on it, on a free house where the seller will gladly give it to me for what's owed on it. So please do not sell that question short. I want that question asked if there's a reasonable gap between the asking price and the loan amount. Now, please make a note on your property information sheets. This question is not written right below that, but it needs to be. If you get a no to will you sell for what you owe, I want you to check no, but then I want you to ask this question. Well, then what is the least you would take for your equity if I took over your debt? What is the least you would take for your equity if I took over your debt? Let's go back to my $200,000 asking price. Seller owes $180,000. Well, I ask them, will you sell for what you owe? And they say no, but it could be that they're just looking for moving money. So now when you ask them, what's the least you would take for your equity if I took over your debt? You know, they might say $5,000. So now you got a totally different deal. If they're asking $5,000 to get out, we very well may be able to give them that, knowing that we're going to put that beautiful house right back on the market, probably on a lease purchase, and get $15,000-$20,000 out of our tenant buyer in less than a month. And that's the game we're playing. So if you ask the right questions, I'll show you how you can turn them into money very, very quickly. Now, if you look over into the middle, you'll see a lease option question. Anytime the property is mortgaged and it has quite a bit of equity in it, you want to ask that question. So let me be clear here now. Let's go back to my example. If I got a $200,000 house and I got a $180,000 loan, the first question I'm going to ask is the will you sell for what you owe. If I get shut down there and I learn that they're going to want pretty much what they want, then I'm going to go to the middle block. Then would you consider a lease purchase if we were responsible for all the repairs? Now, that question gets asked anytime there's quite a bit of equity in the property. Sometimes, if there's a lot of equity, that question is the first question you ask. If there's a small equity, you ask that question if you get shut down on the sell for what you owe question. I hope everybody understood what I just said. I barely understood it myself, but it sounded good. I want a yes or no answer in one of those two blocks if the house has got a mortgage on it. Over to the right, you'll see free and clear houses, and you'll know it's free and clear because the seller said, I don't have any mortgage. So if it's free and clear, you go right over to the right side, and you ask the seller, would you consider taking your equity in monthly installments? If you get a yes to that answer, you just got a seller who just told you that they would owner finance the property for you. So tomorrow I'm going to send you the script to continue that line of questioning if you get a yes on those free and clear properties to the owner financing question. And guys, in case you don't know this, about one-third of the people with houses that are free and clear will say yes to would you consider taking your equity in monthly installments. So make sure you ask that question, and we'll see how we'll see if I'm right in class. Let's just see how many of those we get on Saturday. Now, when I send you the scripts, I'm going to tell you right now the key ingredients that are on the bottom of that script that apply to this question when you're asking it. So follow my line of questioning here. I just asked the seller, will they consider taking their equity in monthly installments? And they said yes. All right. At the bottom of the script that you're going to get tomorrow, it continues by asking three more questions. Well, what's the least you could take if we agree upon the terms? Shut up. Wait for an answer. Jot it down. That's as far as you want to go on that line of question. Now, the next question is, may I assume you will sell with nothing down? Now, guys and gals, may I assume you will sell with nothing down is a totally different question than will you sell with nothing down? In fact, those two questions are 180 degrees apart. Will you sell with nothing down means I'm begging you, please, 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 sell with nothing down. May I assume you will sell with nothing down means I expect you to. And it will absolutely, totally change your response. So follow my script very, very carefully. Do not change the words. Read it exactly as it's written. Now, you're expecting them to say no when that question's asked. So right after that, when you get the script, you'll see that it says, well, then what's the least you could accept for a down payment? And when you ask that question, they're going to come up with a number. And that number is to be jotted down on your property information sheet. And it is the key to whether we're going to have a good deal or a mediocre deal. And then the last question in that line of questioning is, well, then what's the least you could accept per month? What's the least you would accept per month? When you bring in me the answers to all of those questions on the free and clear houses, I can immediately separate out the so-so deals that you can quickly flip and get out of and get a check for $10,000 to $50,000 from the deals to where you can quickly flip and stay in and get the same check but get monthly income and back-end revenue to boot. The questions you ask will lead to the answers that you need, but if you don't ask the questions, we won't get the answers. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, we are not making the seller an offer. The seller is making us an offer. You're simply asking questions, and when they answer those questions, they're literally making you an offer. So fill those sheets out for me and get them to class, and I'll show you just how easy it is to turn those things into money. Now, if you look at the bottom of the page, you'll see the questions that I need answers to as well about the property. First of all, the bedrooms and the baths, pretty important, and the square footage. Make sure you ask them those two questions. But another important question is, does the house need any repairs? Now, I'm not looking for a repair estimate on the houses. I just want you to tell me if it needs nothing, it needs a little update or whatever, or it needs some serious rehab. The answer to that question will also determine where we go from there. Another important question is the house listed? Please don't forget to ask that question, because if the house is listed, it's off limits until we actually get the seller to get that listing released, or it expires, or somebody's willing to pay a commission. So is it listed is important. Don't forget to ask that question. That kills a lot of deals, so get that question asked. And then I want to know why they're moving, just so that I can see what kind of motivation we're dealing with. And if you look down in the down there in the bottom, it also asks whether it is vacant or occupied. Also a pretty important question, because obviously if the house is vacant, they are much more motivated than if it's occupied. So I went through that pretty fast, but I suspect you got it. If you didn't get it, listen to this call again when you get the recording. Now, the next thing we have to discuss is, okay, where are we going to find these people to call? So let's talk about that for a moment. First place you're going to go is on Craigslist and look for houses for sale. You should also look in the rental section on Craigslist and any other site that you can find where people list their houses. Probably the easiest thing to do is to go to Google and type in, I want to buy a house in Springfield, Missouri, or wherever you're at, and here will come a whole list of websites where people advertise their houses for sale. Now, the downside is many of them do not publish a phone number, so you're going to have to email them and ask them to call you back so you can get some information on the house. Also, you might want to ride around into the nice neighborhoods, the beautiful neighborhoods, the beautiful houses, not the low-end crap areas, because that's we make money with that low-end crap, and I'll show you how I do it, but that's not what we're trying to accomplish with these property information sheets. I want beautiful houses and beautiful neighborhoods, and just for the record, there isn't a house in Springfield that's priced high enough to scare me away. We deal in multi-million dollar houses right on down to $150,000 houses in the pretty house world. In fact, I'll show you a couple multi-million dollar houses we have working right now with absolutely no risk, but with six-figure paydays when we get paid off, without risk at all. So ride around and look for those for sale by owner signs in front of the houses. And if you'll do that and snap a picture of the sign with your cell phone and another picture of the house, and then when you get home, just call a number on the sign and fill out the property information sheet as we've just discussed. I will tell you that the leads that you get from those FSBO signs in front of the houses are the highest quality of any leads that you're going to get. They produce better, they're better deals, and they're easier to get on the telephone than the people who advertise online. The people who advertise online are the lowest common denominator of sellers. People with FSBO signs and people who call you from your advertising are the highest common denominator and the easiest to work with. So we're going to work them all. I'll show you exactly how I get sellers to call us, and I'll show you how I sell houses all on autopilot with almost none of my time involved in it, and I'll show you how you can duplicate what I do if you want and literally create you a six and or a seven-figure annual income if you choose to. So with that said, if you're still awake, I'm going to open it up for questions here right now. So here we go. So before I do, please, if you have screaming children, barking dogs, or any kind of noise in the background, if you're carrying on conference calls with somebody else or whatever, if you're shuffling paper, please stop right now. I'm going to open it up for the sanity for the rest of us. Let's see if we can keep that noise factor down.
The conference
right, guys,
is no longer in lecture mode.
You still there?
Yes.
Got some questions for me. Now you're beginning to see why I have to mute it out to do the call, aren't you? Anybody got any questions for me? Hold on just a second. I'll be right back. All right. Any questions from anybody?
I have a question.
All right. Holler at me. Everybody's awfully noisy, aren't they?
It is a little noisy.
Yeah.
With the procedure that you're talking about on the properties, if we have an individual who is in the midst of about having to go into a short sell, can we do something
like
that?
Yeah, go ahead and get the sheet filled out, but that's totally a totally different deal, but I will tell you how to handle it in class.
Okay, great.
It's the same sheet. Any house that is not bank-owned, it needs to be on that sheet. Bank-owned properties, we don't need that sheet for. Okay? Anybody else? Man, you are a noisy group tonight. All right, well, if there's no other questions, then I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, well, some of you on Friday evening and some of you bright and early Saturday morning. So go get me some property information sheets so I can help you make some money. Again, you cannot bring in too many of them. So take a little time and do it right now, and I think you'll find it worth your while if you do.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, last chance. Any questions?
will this call be reissued for us so that we can re-listen to everything?
I am going
to
ask the guys. I'm going to ask Sean and company. Sean, you're not on here, are you? I guess not. I'm going to ask Sean and company to get you a link out tomorrow with this recording so you can play it back, and also get you the scripts so you follow up on the property information sheets.
Wonderful. Can't wait to meet you on Friday.
Okay, you too. All right, everybody, if that's it, then thanks for tuning in tonight. I'll turn you loose, and I'll see you bright and early Saturday morning. See you there.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. Thank you.